At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Come on!
Quick ask before we get started today. I am working to help people lead happier and more contented lives. My part of that is money. So if you enjoyed today's episode, or if you've enjoyed past episodes, please take a minute and leave a quick review on iTunes. Subscribe. That helps the show climb up the rankings and helps more people find it. So thanks a lot. Karen, are you ready?
I am ready.
Excellent. I'm ready. The people are ready. Let's go. Welcome to Money Savage Engage. This is George Grombacher. Karen Weeks is an organizational growth strategist, a speaker, a writer, the VP of People at Order Groove. I'm excited to have you on. Karen, tell us a little bit about your personal life, some more about your work, and why you do what you do.
Absolutely. Hi, everyone. Really excited to be here. I currently live in New York City. We've been here for about 9 years, so I'm originally from New England. I have lived in various states across the country and actually started out in theater and entertainment. And after doing that for a few years, realized that lifestyle wasn't exactly what I wanted for my real adult life. So made the move into HR and have been here ever since. Really, the goal for me when I moved into HR was to help people find something that they were passionate about and would feel successful in their careers, and help businesses find those people to join their teams. And so I think that a lot of that drives how people think about what job they're going to accept, what companies they're going to stay with. So it's a really exciting conversation for me. Personally, like I said, I live in New York with my husband of almost 20 years and 3 furry babies, a dog and 2 cats.
Nice. I love it. And perhaps a conversation for another day, the similarities between human resources and the theater, because I'm sure that there is some crossover at some point. But, well, certainly you are well aware of the challenges that so many of us are facing with being engaged and really enjoying the work that we're doing. So from your perspective, how big of a problem do you think that is, and why is it taking place?
It's a great question. I think part of it is the market is really hot right now. And so people are constantly getting pinged from recruiters, or they hear about things from their friends around, you know, this new exciting job that they could have. And they may be very happy in their current organization, but just, you know, anytime you hear, it's why some people don't like being on social media, is because all you see is the happy stuff that other people are enjoying in life. And so I think there's a little bit of that happening. And so you always think of the grass greener on the other side. You know, my company isn't perfect, because, by the way, no company is perfect. Mm-hmm. And so it just constantly makes you wonder what else is out there, even if you're very happy where you are today. And I think that's one of the biggest shifts I've seen over the last few years or so, is that it always, you know, there's always people who literally are not happy where they are, and so they're thinking about something different. But I see more and more people who are actually pretty happy and not looking, yet they still make a change.
Got it. That's interesting. So do you think about work in a delineation between having a job and having a career?
Yes. And actually, we talk about that a lot at Order Groove, because we really want people to join Order Groove because they want to be there. Most people have to work.
Sure.
We have rents to pay, mortgages, whatever. But you want to find a company or a job that you actually really enjoy, so that the have to of work doesn't feel that way. It's something you're actually enjoying. And so that's something, as we interview people at Order Groove, we're hoping they're joining us because there's something about our company that they really like, not because they need a job, they have to pay their rent, so we were the first ones to give an offer. And I think a lot of times people at various stages of their life have to just take a job. And there's something driving them in their personal life that have put them in that situation. I've definitely been there, versus the opportunity to really think about a career and thinking longer term about how does this develop my skills for what I want the future to hold.
And is it, is, do you think that, that people can find that in any organization doing any work, or do they really need to be in doing work that really clicks with them? I guess I don't know that what I'm actually fumbling around for here, but it's a matter of, I think that so much of life is how you look at things and the perspective that you look at things. But is that possible for everybody?
I'd like to think so. I mean, maybe I'm too much of an optimist. You know, at the end of the day, even finding a job that's closer to your home. So maybe there's a point where you have to work in an industry that really isn't where you want to be, but maybe you find something that's closer to home or has better hours for you, so that you still feel like you have some sort of choice. I remember when I was fresh out of school and I was doing theater and I was not making any bit of money, definitely didn't have insurance or anything like that. And I had to find a day job to help me supplement my early theater life. You know, I was living in North Carolina at the time. There's tons of things I could have done. I could have waitressed. I could have worked in retail. I could have found like some sort of office admin job. And instead, I actually ended up working at a daycare because at the time, you know, working with the kids was a lot of fun. Having an earlier schedule was really important to me so that I could easily get to rehearsals at night. So that was a time where I definitely needed a job, but I found something that at least was going to have me enjoy the time that I was spending at that job, even if it wasn't part of my career. And while that's not always possible, like I said, I definitely want to be a realist. I hope that people can at least find little wins in the times where they have to have a job.
Yeah, I think that that's well said. You mentioned choice, and I think that that is choice and control, so having the control to be able to make decisions at work. What are some of those other drivers that you think really lead to happiness in a role?
I think a lot of it has to do with, am I actually making an impact here? Whether that is to the bottom line of the company, whether it's to the clients, whether it's my internal team. So many people that are at a point in their career where they're trying to think about, do I stay, do I go, do I change roles internally at this company? A lot of it is because they feel like they've either plateaued from a learning standpoint or plateaued from an impact standpoint. And I think those are two things that really drive people when they're thinking about, is it time to make a change? And again, that could be a change internally. I've worked for a lot of companies that encourage internal transfers, internal job changes, even not promotions, just, you know, client services to product or product to technology or whatever. And so I think those are sort of the two axes that people think about if all else is equal when they're thinking about making a change.
Yeah, I think that definitely makes sense. So need to be able to find impact in everything that we do. Otherwise, you feel stagnant or stuck or bored, all those different things. And then
absolutely,
we go on social media and we look at all this awesome other stuff that people are doing at that other company. And anyway,
yeah.
So I'm fascinated by what organizations can do to create good culture. And that's, I don't want to call it a throwaway word, but it's certainly a word that's beat up. And I read this great blog post by Seth Godin. I think it was last week or the week before. He was talking about just opening the bag of cookies. He said, if you throw a bag of cookies in the workroom that's closed, then nobody's going to eat them. But if you just open the bag, it'll be gone in an hour. And I thought, well, what are your thoughts on that?
That's a great metaphor. I think it's true. And I think a lot of times, too, companies get stuck in the, well, culture is about the perks and it's about the bag of cookies, literally,
right.
in the kitchen. And that's really not the case. And I think what really drives culture is the way people behave with each other, the way they treat each other, the way they interact, the way they communicate, the way decisions are made. And then even when you then think about the perks, how those are tied to those values that you've put into place. You know, a great example, and this kind of ties to, you know, how is this impacting my life from a financial standpoint, is we definitely wanted to have some sort of wellness health perk. So first we did gym memberships. Then we tried this sort of like Groupon site for health stuff, and every day they had a different deal and they had, you know, classes or all these different things, and nothing was really sticking. And I couldn't figure out why. And none of them were really being used very well. People still were like, yeah, it's fine. We don't really have a benefit around wellness. And I'm like, we have these things. And so what I realized was people really wanted flexibility. So we have a very diverse group of people in a variety of different ways. And, you know, some people like going to the gym. Some people like taking classes. Some people like doing 5Ks. And so they need the money for, you know, the registration for that. And so we actually changed our benefit to be a wellness allowance. So you get an annual allowance, and you can use it in any way you want as long as it's for like a legit wellness activity. And that tied to actually one of our values of what you see is what you get. We want people to be individuals. We want people to share the things that are important to them and not have cookie cutter people. And the reason why I bring that up around sort of the bag of cookies that's open is that you can have an open bag of cookies, but if it's not the right bag of cookies, people will nibble on it and they'll be like, yeah, thanks, that was fine, but it still won't have the impact and people still won't take advantage of it like they would if it was the thing that was actually important to them.
Yeah, I love that, and it makes sense why people are gravitating and taking advantage of it. So I've been thinking a lot about this as of late, and I think about how to reach a group of people, right? And if it's an organization or whatever, you're probably going to have on the front end 10 to 15% of people who are going to be early adopters, who are going to be great at everything. They're going to be physically fit. They're going to be great at saving money. Then you're going to have people on the back end who are kind of the opposite. And then that huge chunk of folks in the middle who there's maybe the opportunity to really have an impact. Do you think that that's a fair way to look at an organization, a good way to look at it from a benefit standpoint, or a terrible way to look at it?
Yeah, I think it's probably pretty spot on. I mean, if you think about it, it's a similar bell curve to performance. You've got a small group that are your high performer rock stars. You've got a small group that probably is struggling, and most of the people are kind of somewhere in the middle. And when you think about, you know, where you spend your time as a manager, most people spend their time with the rock stars and the people that are struggling and miss the great people in the middle.
Yeah.
And so I think that's probably the case in any time we bring a group of people together and you look at them and with some sort of certain lens. And I think it's about, you know, one thing I think a lot about is for the folks that are in the middle, in whatever lens that you're looking at them with, is how do I help them? You mentioned choice earlier. How do I help them recognize that they have a choice? And those are the folks that are either going to, you know, be really happy where they are and stay where they are and stay engaged and just kind of be your middle folks. You have folks that can turn negative very quickly because they feel like something's happening to them or they're stagnant and they don't know how to make a choice on their own to make a change. Or you've got the folks that, you know, you've recognized there's potential and you can actually move them into the rock star category. And I think helping people realize they have a choice about if you're unhappy, you don't have to stay at your company. You know, even if you're quote unquote in a job, there's still other jobs out there. And so you don't have to be miserable. You don't have to be unhappy. If you really are talking to people and you can't find a better path in your current company, you can make a change. Now, going back to the financial piece, obviously, if you need to do that at the right time and you can't leave without something else already set up, I get all that. But you still have a choice. You don't have to sit there and be miserable.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that very much. And that's sort of the trick, right? Is how do you reach the people at the right time when they're ready to move into a new role, or how do you stop people from that 70% from going to the bottom 15 versus the top without hammering people or giving them too much, too little, just finding that balance. I guess that's the trick.
Yeah, it's a very hard thing to do because you can poke people too much and that actually aggravates them.
Sure.
When maybe they weren't there. I think it's a combination of, you know, what is the right culture within your company? You know, within my current company, I definitely can have more conversations with folks as the, you know, as the HR person. In other companies, it's better coming from their manager, or maybe they've got like a mentor or a buddy. So it really kind of depends on the way the organization is set up and how HR is viewed and how management is viewed to have those conversations. But I think the number one thing is whatever is right for your organization, doing it early, setting that tone from day one with a new hire. You know, I want to talk to you about your career. I'm going to be giving you feedback. I'm going to care if you're engaged or not. And if any of those moments are on the negative side at some point, I want to have that conversation with you. And so I want to set that expectation and tone now on day one. So if on day whatever, you're having a bad day and you need to talk about it, you've known from the beginning that this is the kind of relationship I want us to have.
I love that. And I think that that's so important right there. Expectations in any relationship, I think, are so key. So I think that that's great. And I think that that's great for great advice, certainly for anybody who's running a company or managing people, whatever. From an individual standpoint, what do you wish that maybe employees knew or were more empowered to do?
That's a great question. I think it ties back to the concept of choice and control and partnership. So while, yes, you definitely need your manager or HR to, you know, help you get a promotion or make a job change or whatever the thing is, it also is not solely on them. You should come to the table as well, whether that is, hey, I really want to improve my presentation skills. I did a quick Google search and found this online class. Is this something the company would support? Or I really want to become a manager one day. I know we have a bunch of new hires coming on board. Is there any chance I could be like a mentor to them or a buddy to them or something just to kind of help flex those muscles? So coming and saying what's of interest to you, what's important to you, and maybe an idea or two, or being honest and saying like, I don't know how to do that, but I want to let you know it's important or it's something I want to do in the future. I've seen too many people just say, you know, where's my promotion? Where's my money to go take a class or whatever without the partnership on both sides. And like I said, I know companies aren't perfect. I know sometimes that's not the culture of a company. And I'm sort of painting probably a pretty picture that everybody gets to work this way.
Sure.
But I think, you know, as an employee, part of it is on you as well. And it should be a conversation about development, not one way.
Love it. Well, Karen, Savage Nation is ready for your difference-making tip. What do you have for them?
I love it. So I think it is my biggest tip is, again, I recognize that people at different stages of their lives need different things out of their jobs and their careers. Sometimes you need more flexibility. Sometimes you really need to make sure you're making the most money as possible. Sometimes you're willing to explore new opportunities and take a step back or whatever the thing may be. So I think just being aware and being self-aware around what's important to you at this moment, and then finding that within whatever work you're going to do. Because then if you are in a place where maybe you do need to focus on that job versus I'm thinking bigger about my career, you still feel engaged and excited, or at least not hateful and horrible about going to your job every day. So just think about what's important at that moment in your life, and that can change, and that's okay. And then finding the right job or company that fits what you need at that time.
Well, that is great stuff. That definitely gets a come on. Come on. And Karen, thank you so much for coming on. Where can Savage Nation learn more about you?
Yeah, absolutely. So the best way to reach me is definitely on LinkedIn. Karen D. Weeks on LinkedIn. You'll see, you know, Order Groove and some of the other, and Yodel and some of the other companies I've worked for. That's definitely the best way to reach me. Otherwise, you can also reach me. I've got a Gmail account set up for kdweeks.hr@gmail. And so those are usually the best ways to find me. I'm on Twitter, but I'm not really there a lot. So if you were to ping me there, it would probably take me a while to respond.
Fair enough. Perfect. Well, Savage Nation, if you enjoyed this as much as I did, show Karen your appreciation and share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. You can connect with her on LinkedIn and as well as email. I'll list both of those in the notes of the show. Thanks again, Karen.
Thank you.
And thanks as always for listening. And until next time, keep fighting the good fight, because we are all in this together. Before I go, quick announcement. I've been asked by so many people over the past couple of years about how do I start a podcast, that I've developed and released a course that will teach you exactly how to do that step by step, from figuring out the kind of show that you want to have to understanding
how all the technology works behind it, and then how to get great guests and keep the thing moving and how to grow it. So if you're interested in that, check it out. You can go to georgegrumbacher.com/podcast course and you'll find it there. You can just go to the website. I'll also list that in the notes of the show.
What's up, Savage Nation? Please support the show by subscribing, leave us a review, and definitely feel free to share us with somebody you think would like it.
Come on.